Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
35 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives Herman, Fritz, Zaroff, and M.M. Miller are excused from the call of the House today. I note the presence of Representative Fritz on the floor. And, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Adams be excused from the call of the House today until playing time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Adams is excused as requested. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I fail to note the presence of Representative Zaroff, who's busy clearing his throat to let me know he's here.
Clerk, please note the presence of Representative Zaroff. Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Lou Rooker, Chapel by the Lake.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I'd like to take the liberty of announcing that today and every Thursday during Lent, there is a luncheon being held at the Episcopal Church down the street from 12 to 1 o'clock, and you're all welcome to come. Today the speaker is Bishop Michael Kenney of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Juneau. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, once again we bow before you, thanking you for life and love and liberty, and grateful also for the opportunity to serve which is presented to us here. Forgive us the ways in which we have turned from you, and give us all the grace to follow your guidance this day. And on this foggy day, we think especially of those who are traveling, and pray that their journeys may be completed safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal. It's very appropriate.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 59th legislative day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 59th day.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 59th legislative day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Bussell?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I would like the body to heartily welcome an Alaskan known to everybody here, a former Speaker of this House, a constituent of mine, Mr. Tom Fink.
Tom, as a former member of this body, it would be my privilege to extend to you the floor today if you'd care to address us.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to, in Gallery A, I'd like to introduce Dr. Joan Klutz, the past state president of the Alaska Business and Professional Women, Madeline McKinney, Golden Heart Business and Professional Women, and Melanie Marotta, the president of the Fairbanks Business and Professional Women.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have three people here from Sitka who are representing BPW, and they are Carol Johnson, Ruth McKenzie, and Catherine Raddick. Would you please help me welcome them, Jr.?
Representative Schultz?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I would like to introduce to you Corrine Colerud, a constituent of mine, and also women's organization, Corrine Colerud.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce a constituent of Representative Barnes and I, my wife, Pat Furness. Mr. Speaker, I think I was supposed to announce that she's a member of the Business and Professional Women's Group. If not, could I have it at ease to go get the rest of my talk last year?
Will the House please stand at ease?
No, I'm sorry.
Nice weekend, Walt. further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citations. In memoriam, Selma Smith, honoring Leland L. Dishman, honoring the King Cove T-Jacks, and honoring the King Cove Rookies. They are being enrolled. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 296, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act relating to certain licenses, permits, and registrations, and providing for an effective date.
The Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 296 is referred to the Labor and Commerce and Finance Committees.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 347, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act authorizing the use of Alaska Permanent Fund income to pay longevity bonuses, amending the longevity bonus program and the Permanent Fund dividend distribution program, and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications.
We are in receipt of the annual report of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights, 1983. It will be on file in the clerk's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Joint Resolution 52, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska to provide for a biennial state budget under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Locker, Cowdery, Ward, and Schultz, having no recommendation, M.M. Miller and Larson. House Joint Resolution number 52 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Committee on HES has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 470, making a special appropriation to the Department of Education, Alaska History Commission, to produce a documentary film relating to the participation of Alaska in World War II, under consideration. Recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mrs. Tischer, Chairman, concurring by Tischer, Martin, Pestinger, Euling, Davis, and Kopanen. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 470 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 575, relating to permanent fund dividends, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 575, Finance, with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Fritz, Adams, Bettesworth, Martin, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Jaroff, Herbert, and Ward. Duncan has no recommendation. House Bill 575 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on HES has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 129, Rules, Cardiopulmonary Resuscitation, CPR, and Early Cancer Detection Instruction in the Public Schools, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 129, HES, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Ms. Tischer, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Martin, Davis, Kopanen, Pestinger, and Tischer. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 129 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on HES has had Senate Bill 130, making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for CPR mannequins and films, under consideration. Recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Ms. Tischer, Chairman, concurred in by Martin, Davis, Kopanen, Pestinger, Tischer, and Euling. Senate Bill 130 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
Dear Mr. President and Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee on House Bill 103, Corrections, requests powers of limited free conference as to the following issues outstanding, and this has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. It was signed by the Senate members, Josephson and Halford, and by the House members, Bussell, Ward, and Clarkson, signed no recommendation.
This time, I'll extend the limited powers of free conference as requested from the Conference Committee on House Bill 103 in their letter of March 8th.
I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation in memoriam, Wilna J. Bilesma, by Representatives Martin, Hayes, Furness, Tischer, Grusendorf, and Zemanski.
Representative Martin.
So, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask permission that we move up to special orders of business at this time.
The proper motion, Representative Martin, is that move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Wilna J. Biles may be brought before us as a special order of business.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, that's what I want.
Is there objection? Hearing none.
Speaker, I'd like to move that all other members of the House be shown as co-sponsors.
Is there objection? Hearing none, all other members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors of the citation. Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation in memoriam, Wilna J. Bilesma.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved.
I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 471 by Fritz Euling and Malone by request. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Administration for a feasibility and site selection study for construction of a pioneer's home on the West Kenai Peninsula and providing for an effective date.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 471 is referred to the State Affairs and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Clarkson.
Do we have a reading?
Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert back to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Gallery A is a very good friend of mine, and when I know he's around, that the co-hosts are indeed schooling. In Gallery A, Al Davis. Help me welcome here to Sitka.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm pleased to present to the body four individuals with the Business and Professional Women's Group came into town, in addition to those that I introduced yesterday, in Gallery A, Arlene Pence, Marion Estelle, Fran Hubbard, and Diane Zuer. Additionally, Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, and on behalf of Representative Miller, who can't join us today, but also his junior cohort, Representative Duncan, I'd like to introduce to the body the president of the Juneau BPW, Irene Roberts Erickson.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we move down the calendar for a special report on special orders at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have the privilege of the floor at this time to make a report on the first annual legislative ski Olympic contest.
You have the floor, Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. It was my pleasure, along with many other legislators, to participate in an activity which I hope is going to be an annual activity that was sponsored by the Juneau Aware organization and the Eagle Crest Ski Association. The activity was conducted last night. We participated with a strong group from the House, slightly weaker on the other body side. But they were able to pull off an upset, which unfortunately is going to go down into the history books and carved into the plaque that will be maintained at Eagle Crest as the Senate prevailing over the House in overall time in the ski-a-thon that we carried on. I might note that the fastest times were, and the gold medal for the overall fastest time was obtained by Brent Payne with John Ringsted's office. The silver medal went to Mark Walsh with Senator Strzelczewski's office. Bronze went to Donovan Hayes with Senator Pettijohn's office. That was the overall fastest time. Now right down to the meat of the returns. We, on the legislative side, I'll go back in order on that. The bronze medal went to Flash Flood, correction, Representative Flood from Anchorage. He brought in the bronze medal and with a very distinguished style. The silver medal was picked up by the other body, Representative Halford, who the senator who brought in the carrying the colors for the other body very admirably, and yours truly picked up the gold medal representing his district and particularly the Alyeska Ski Resort area and this body, and I enjoyed that. I do want to also, with honorable mention, bring in a few of the other. Mushalong Davis from Fairbanks was able to place in the in the event and participated actively in it. And with, again, honorable mention, we did have another distinguished skier from the Eagle River area, Slippery Randy Phillips. He was a distinguished skier who put forth a real effort, and we have high hopes of him bringing home the medals next year as part of the event. Thank you.
On the daily order of business, we're down to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 575 by Barnes, Hayes, Bussell, Liska, Furness, and Clarkson, an act relating to permanent fund dividends and providing for an effective date. The committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 575 under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 575 Judiciary with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attach as a physical note. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, signing do pass, Liska, Hayes, Barnes, and Bussell. Having no recommendation, Malone and Clarkson. The Committee on Finances have the bill under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 575 Finance with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Fritz Adams, Bedesworth, Martin, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Jaroff, Hurlburt, and Ward. Having no recommendation, Duncan. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 575 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Clarkson. Page one, line six. After dividends, insert for individuals incarcerated after conviction for a felony.
Representative Clarkson.
Move the amendment.
Is there objection?
Objection.
There is objection for purposes of discussion. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if the members will look at the title of this bill, they will understand the need perhaps to narrow the title of the bill so that the other body might not strip the contents of the bill. They certainly wouldn't do that, but just in case they do, to strip the contents of the bill and put a completely different bill on. We want to avoid that by narrowing the title of the bill.
Is there further objection to the adoption of amendment number one?
Question.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, we have just a brief at ease, please.
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? We have before us a motion by Representative Clarkson to adopt amendment number one to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 575. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no objections to the amendment.
Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 575 Finance be considered engrossed advance to third reading placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 575, Finance amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to permanent fund dividends for individuals incarcerated after conviction for a felony and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 575 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 575, amended, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage of committee substitute for House Bill 575 Finance amended be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 42 by the Resources Committee relating to the establishment of an Environmental Protection Agency regional office in Alaska. The Committee on Resources has had House, Senate Joint Resolution 42 under consideration and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Ringsted, co-chairman, signing Dupas, Larson, Bessel, Liska, Cowdery, Euling, Ringsted, and Schultz. VASCA has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 42 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 42 by the Resources Committee, relating to the establishment of an Environmental Protection Agency regional office in Alaska.
So debate.
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 42 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
Senate Joint Resolution 42 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Harry Ludwigson, by Representatives McBride and Wente and Senator Ziegler.
Representative McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Stephen John Huber, by Representative Hurlburt and Senator Sackett.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent for approval of the citation in memory of Stephen John Huber.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring Northern Lights ABC School by Senators Sturgiluski, Rohde, Fisher, Representatives Abood, Hayes, Tischer, and Furness.
Representative Abood, do you care to move the citation?
Move the citation.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be added to the list as one of the sponsors.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Flood will be added as a sponsor, co-sponsor of the citation honoring Northern Lights ABC School. Is there objection to the adoption of the citation? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Will the House please stand at ease? Before the at ease, we were to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Ringstad.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Resources Committee meeting this afternoon, we had two bills up, and one of the bills is going to be canceled and pulled off. The HB 351 waterfowl conservation stamps. We're going to be doing some other work and probably hearing that issue later. But we will have the HB 538, the other bill that was up today, will be heard.
Thank you.
Representative Bettisworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As members of the Finance Committee probably know, our chairman, Al Adams, had to overfly because of the fog. But the meeting will be held anyway at 1:30 in the House Finance Room.
Representative Euling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Special Committee on State Loans will have a brief 10-minute meeting at 5 o'clock on the committee substitute for HB 627 relating to the Forest Products Business Guarantee Loan Fund.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At 4 o'clock today in the House Finance Room, there will be a meeting on the Kinnickarm Crossing presented by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and they'll be explaining what the administration's opinion is on financing statements as a carryover from last year, so we can decide which legislative action to take, and that'll be at 4 p.m. today in the House Finance Room.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a noon meeting of the Anchorage Caucus in the House Finance Committee Room. The special guest speaker will be Tom Fink. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Grusendorf. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a noon meeting today of the Interior Delegation in the Butcher's Room, and the public is invited.
Representative Cowdery.
Yes, I'd just like to announce tomorrow there'll be in House Resource Committee room work sessions of a subcommittee on appointed subcommittee on House Bill 600. It's relating to royalty oil, and I'd urge the members appointed to that subcommittee to attend.
Representative Tischer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I neglected to mention the topic of discussion that Mr. Finkel will be speaking on. That would be the permanent fund.
Further announcements. Special orders. Representative Schultz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on kidnapping and holding for ransom.
You have the floor, Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would not impugn the motives or vilify the character of anyone known or unknown to me, but even a gentle and patient man such as myself has his limits. I have, Mr. Speaker, over the past few weeks, taken a good deal of heat from both colleagues and constituents alike over a few pet bills I have supported. Without trying to buffalo anyone, I must state that these bills were vital to the state, and I have endured all this bull because it's my duty as an elected official to do so. But now, Mr. Speaker, someone has gone too far. They've kidnapped my bison. I speak not in jest. The noble symbol of my efforts were abducted boldly and with stealth and cunning from my office one evening this week. Admittedly, this is only, or I should say, was only, a stuffed animal. But it was a gift from a friend, private property, and a cherished keepsake. In his place, Mr. Speaker, was left a ransom note that I hold before you. It reads, "For $10, I will return the bull. Please leave the money on a nail in the hall." Loath as I am to submit to the demands of an extortionist, these instructions were carefully followed. My staff secured a $10 bill, which I hold here before you, and left it nailed in the prescribed place. Even so, sir, the bull has not been returned. Few conclusions are accessible, Mr. Speaker, but nonetheless, I present these possibilities. Number one, the loutish bison abductor is an opponent of me and my legislation and seeks to unnerve me by this brutal act. Two, a stuffed animal collector has more evidence for his or her hobby than he has character in his or her soul. Number three, someone has butchered, roasted, and eaten my bison, for which case I can only wish them well with their polyester indigestion. And finally, Mr. Speaker, let me say very plainly that this is no bull, for there is no bull.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission of the floor to speak on cruelty to animals.
Yeah, the floor, Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For months, most of us have noticed in the hallway a magnificent big brown buffalo sitting there with its beautiful brown eyes and shaggy mane. Mr. Speaker, if you look very close to this magnificent animal, you notice there were big tears in its eyes. As I note, Mr. Speaker, that this poor animal has been left out in the hallways for months. And Mr. Speaker, upon close examination, I note that there was not one blade of grass, nor was there an ounce of straw. Mr. Speaker, there wasn't even a cup of barley there for this poor animal. But most of all, Mr. Speaker, most depressing, there wasn't any water. This poor animal had been left straddled at petition for all this time. A humane thing would have been to at least have a pen there for this poor animal. But most of all, I think all would have liked to have seen it running wild upon the prairie. But, Mr. Speaker, that wasn't so. Night after night and day after day, this lonely buffalo was left straddled this petition. I make note also that being left out in the hall, it was subjected to smoke. It had eyes that were red like fire.
I note, Mr. Speaker, it was subjected to dust. It had a severe case of the runny nose. I also note, Mr. Speaker, that it had been subjected to loud and abusive conversation because its owner swears on a regular basis. But, Mr. Speaker, someone felt sorry for this poor animal, and they scooped it up in their arms and took it off in the dark of night. Mr. Speaker, this was not an act of unkindness. It was an act of mercy. But, Mr. Speaker, I am sure that all Alaskans are heartened that an unselfish person saw this defenseless animal straddle this petition for all these months and took it upon themselves to try and rectify this situation. Mr. Speaker, I'm speaking long because I'm hoping this buffalo will show up in a few seconds here. Mr. Speaker, I thank members of this body, our visitors in the gallery, and people throughout the state of Alaska deplore cruelty to animals. And Mr. Speaker, I certainly hope that if the representative from Chicken, Alaska retrieve this most magnificent animal, that he would be appreciative and would take better care, that he will no longer leave it out in the hallway subject to the gloom of night all by itself, and that he would at least set it free to roam throughout the Capitol building. I'm still waiting for them to bring the buffalo. I have a feeling, Mr. Speaker, that not only has the representative from Chicken been double-crossed on this buffalo, but so have I.
Mr. Speaker, maybe I could help the representative from Anchorage here, Stalfour. Are also referred not only to the buffalo, but to the very large number of deprived elephants that I see sitting around here on our desk.
Mr. Speaker, it assures that just the grace of goodness in all of our hearts, this poor creature has been returned, and I'm going to leave him right here, and if the gentleman from Chicken again will promise to set this poor creature free, let it roam, and take that $10 that he has scraped up through his mercy and buy at least food or water or shelter for this great animal. It would be my pleasure to see that he is returned. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the pleasure.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The privilege of the floor for your Iditarod update.
You have the floor, Representative Fuller.
After such a stirring tale, I feel like this report is insignificant. But anyway, out of McGrath, Larry Cowboy Smith with a 3-hour lead. Second, Dean Osmar, Epp Anderson third, and taking a 24-hour layover in McGrath is fourth, Susan Butcher, and fifth, Jerry Austin. Thank you, Mr.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. We've had a lot of discussion on gastardly deeds this evening, or I should say this morning, and I'd like to have the privilege of the floor to speak about another one related to the resurrection of a blood-sucking vampire.
You have the floor, Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. It's with great sorrow and very remorsefully that I bring forward to you a message which I recently received from the floor above, dated March 2nd. It's almost like a proclamation in some ways. It's in reference to Alaska Legislative Hall facility and questions which I specifically requested be addressed by the Attorney General of the State of Alaska. And the question I felt appropriate to set to rest and hopefully cover up with as much soil as possible that creature that seems to want to rematerialize and come forth in the form of $60 to $100 million project to be hung around the necks of the people of Alaska. I ask this very simple question: by what authority can the Department of Transportation or administration expend funds to design, construct a facility to be occupied or used by the legislature? In response, and in essence, the response came back and said, that appropriation was supported by a standard form 35A, which provides evidence that purpose
of the appropriation was to acquire site of a legislative hall. That measure, taken together with the appropriation language, which was nonspecific, is sufficient authority for DOTPF to proceed with design phase of the project. Mr. Speaker, it's amazing, after exhaustive research both in the House and the Senate, in the body of this, of the legislature, we've not been able to find one scrap of evidence. Yet when you ask that person sitting on your right arm over here to speak, he seems to be able to come out with words of wisdom and newfound evidence that somehow we need to resurrect and maintain the position that a new legislative hall should be constructed in Juneau. It disturbs me, Mr. Speaker, that we can't seem to set to rest that issue. Matter of fact, I asked another question. Do you feel the administration can make a commitment to lease or purchase a legislative facility or legislative hall without explicit approval by the legislature? Once again, words of wisdom come forth. An ad hoc legislative approval of state leases violates the doctrine of separation of powers. The lease of facilities for public use is not a legitimate part of lawmaking power. Doesn't sound like we've got much to do around here except for making laws and maybe appropriating funds. But at some point in time, I think that we're going to have to take the issue head on. And I mean specifically determine whether or not this body, or I should say the body as a whole of the legislature, is going to be controlled and dictated to by the administration as to where we're going to conduct business. Because I think inherent in that is the ability to direct how we conduct business. Mr. Speaker, I've been silent on the subject for some time now. Many members have come to me and asked me why we haven't moved a little more aggressively with relocation of the legislature to Anchorage, a bill which I introduced last year with the support of many other members of this body. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to take a hard look once again at that and work very closely with other members, because I'm not too sure whether or not, according to this opinion, whether or not we may even have that prerogative anymore. It would appear from my reading of the statutes that we do have that ability. But Mr. Speaker, at some point in time, I would hope that we could bring this issue to rest, and it doesn't appear that it's going to happen, because at least in the opinion of this Attorney General, he has the ability to thrust that stake out of the heart of the vampire and allow life to exist. I'm going to be again calling upon you and the other members, particularly from the Anchorage delegation, to join me into trying to reassert our prerogative and particularly drive that stake home to make sure that it doesn't move, that it doesn't wiggle, and that we can finally cover it up. Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on the subject of NEAR.
You have the floor, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's near the end of the Yukon Quest, and I just want to bring the body up to date on that. The trail conditions are equally bad in the Yukon Territory. The mushers are out of Carmax. There's almost no trail. Sonny Linder is ahead by about 3 hours, and they're expected in sometime today.
Representative Pestinger.
I'll be brief, Mr. Speaker, but I would like also the privilege of the floor to address the voters' need to approve a debt and what a debt is.
Representative, you have the floor, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we look at Article 9 of the Constitution, and we could look at Section 8, it just says that the voters have to approve of a debt. And the position being taken is that in the case of the Legislative Hall or the new Capitol building, that that's a lease. And a lease is not a debt, and therefore the voters don't have to approve of it. Most council will agree that a lease is not a debt within the meaning of the Constitution. But the problem is that when there's an intent of ownership, You're not dealing with a lease, you're dealing with a purchase. Now, Chicago Bond Council, and I'll provide the name to the body in the future, is of the opinion that this lease purchase is a debt within the meaning of Section 8. Because it's a purchase, because we're putting something on land that's owned by the state, and in the end, we intend to own it, and that's making it a purchase within the meaning of this agreement, within the meaning of the Constitution. We don't have an Alaska Supreme Court case on point. A lease, per se, of a typewriter or a building is not a debt within the meaning of the Constitution. But when it's all done, if you want to own it, it's a debt. If you want to put it on state land, and when it's all over, it's a debt. And that debt's got to be approved by a qualified voters of the state. And I think I can get you some pretty good authority from across this nation, from leading law firms across this nation, from bond counsel across this nation, that that's the way it's got to work. So I'd rather appreciate it if when we look at this and we call it a lease and say the Constitution doesn't apply, we realize what we've really got here is ownership, intent to own, and purchase. And when we look at all the parameters of the transaction, we got a debt within the meaning of the Constitution, Mr. Speaker. And that debt takes voter approval. It takes voter approval right here in Juneau, for sure, and it takes voter approval statewide. Now, as far as this Form 35, now, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but I don't like to see evidence surface when a Form 35 wasn't around at the critical time. We can all take a look at a lot of very serious statutes on what happens when evidence surfaces after the fact. And I also remember hearing from the minority leader from Juneau saying how this was thoroughly discussed on the floor on the Snedisham project, that it was thoroughly discussed on the House floor last year. It was not ever mentioned on the House floor when I was here. Now, we got to get some integrity into government, into what we're doing here, and the state's got to play by the same rules that private citizens have to play by, and the Attorney General's office has got to play by rules of evidence that private citizens have to play by, and the Attorney General's office has got to play by the same canons of ethics that attorneys have to play by, and the Attorney General's office has got to play by the same laws that deal with evidence and the creation of evidence that every other respected professional has to play by. Now, if we're going to get an audit into what the evidence is, and if we're going to get an investigation into what the evidence is, by God, there are sanctions in this area, and we better understand that. We're just not going to let someone manufacture a case, because when you go manufacture a case, you're going to pay the dues. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're under special orders, but I'd like to make an announcement. There will be a 11:30 a.m. House Democratic Caucus today.
Further business to come before the body? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, March 9, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.